It's a privilege to be able to do this. We're going to look at Romans chapter 11. It's page 1139 in your Bibles, if you have one. If you don't, there are Bibles available. And just indicate that you'd want one. And we're beginning at verse 33. But let me just pray before we read. Romans 11:33. Lord, thank you. For your goodness to us. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard tonight of your faithfulness and how you've stepped into lives and situations. And Lord, we thank you too for your unchanging nature and your desire to step into our lives afresh, even tonight and through 2007. Lord, we invite your presence by your Spirit to minister to us and remind us of how faithful you are, how much you love us, and what plans you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These are the words of Paul at the end of chapter 11, following his discourse about the nature of God's people and how God had pursued them in love. And this is what he says at the end, having established the fact that God loves them enough to provide a way for them to come to repentance and faith. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Do you know, there are some phrases that sort of stick in one's mind once you hear them, and you can refer to them time and again. And one of those phrases actually was a phrase that I heard in this church from this platform some years ago during a conference. The speaker was Jim Graham. And he said something like this: that true success, if you want to measure success in the life of the church, you need to be able to explain it only in terms of God. If you can explain it in other ways, in any other way, it is not success. It's got to point to God. God needs to be the source and the reason behind what's happening. And I just wonder, if you just reflect over 2006, how many times could you have said, this is a God thing that has been happening. This is something God did. And evidently tonight we've seen that in people's lives and testimonies. God stepped in and did wonderful things. And I want us to reflect on 2006 and look into 2007 in terms of God and his activity and his ability. So let's look at these words again. This is Paul just bursting out in absolute amazement at such a God who relentlessly loves his people. And guess what? This is our God too. Our God and Father, who relentlessly loves us and pursues us in love. So let's be amazed at him again this evening. The depth, he says, of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. There is no end to his resources. Such depth of riches in him. God's riches are not deep like a well is deep, where you have to go reach right down to you know, some way before you can get to the water. His riches are deep like a pool that is without end. A fathomless pool that's accessible, we can reach into. His wisdom and his riches are accessible, and they are without end. And so we're going to meditate tonight on the depth of God. The depth of God. And first of all, we're going to look at the depth of his wisdom. Isn't it good to know that God will never be at a loss as to what to do next? Hey? And so as we look at the year ahead, we can say to him and ask him for wisdom to know what we should do next. What should we do next in our own lives? What should we do next about the situation at home, our family life, and the challenges that are there? What should we do next about our work situation and the challenges we face there? What should we do next about our own health even? What should we do there? What should we do about our service in the church? How can I step up? What else can I do? What should I say no to? As well as what should I say yes to in the year ahead? What should I do? What should I do personally about number 65, for example? What is it that God wants me to do? How does God want me to respond with regard to how we progress with number 65? What should we do about our next senior pastor? What is the next step that we should need to take? Lord, help us to know. What should we do about serving our community in 2007? What should we do about reaching the world in 2007? His wisdom will give us direction, and we need to seek him for it. We need to pray for it. So he's deep in his wisdom, and he's deep in his knowledge. God knows what we know and all that we don't know. Is that right, isn't it? Everything we don't know, he knows, and far more than that as well. We can look at all the unknowns that we're going to face in 2007 and pray that God would take us through them, because he knows. And when we can't see the way ahead and we face challenges, knowing that God knows is a great, great plus. It helps us to know that we will find a way through. And a friend of mine came to see me the other day and shared a real time of difficulty that he had. And everything seemed to be going wrong. His marriage was struggling. There were real challenges with regard to his children. His work, there were issues there. And everywhere he turned, there were challenges, real difficult challenges. And he just, everywhere he turned with regard to asking for advice, there was no one that could help him. And he was desperate. And this was someone who'd known what it is to be bold for God and fearless and optimistic in spirit. Suddenly, this guy was totally at a loss. And so he cried out to God. This happened during a journey home. It was an evening, and it was raining, and it was miserable, and his vision was impaired through the windscreen, and he thought, this is exactly how I feel. Can't see my way through. And he cried out to God at that time, literally cried to God. Along the journey a little bit further on, the rain stopped, the sun started coming through. And he sensed God say to him, I know it's hard for you. Let me have your difficulties. Let me have them. Let me have your problems. I can handle them. I know the way through. And as that sun came through, his burdens were lifted. Literally, he felt, wow, hey, there is a way through. God is in control. God does know, and his knowledge is sufficient for me. The fact that he knows is sufficient for me. And suddenly, this guy who was so downcast, his optimism returned, his hope returned, and he actually broke out in loud praise in the car. And he thought, you know, the drivers around him thought he was a bit of a nutter in doing that. But he was delivered through. And, you know, when we know that God knows, we too can live beyond our circumstances, can't we? We can break through them. We can see the blue sky above the clouds, as it were, because he knows. And when we see things from his perspective, it's a different picture altogether, isn't it? God knows. He's rich in his wisdom. He's rich in his knowledge. And we read that his judgments are unsearchable. So he's deep in his wisdom, deep in his knowledge, deep also in his discernment. His deep wisdom and knowledge make sure to us that his judgments will always be perfect. Whatever God allows for us in 2007, whatever God withholds from us in 2007 will be according to his good, pleasing, and perfect will. They will be just what we need. Thankfully, they won't always be just what we deserve, but what we need. Because he loves us. Hasn't that always been the case? Hasn't that been your experience? It'll always be the same. Some of the things we want to see happen or take place in 2007 may not actually be the best for us. And God wants, as we were reminded this morning, he wants the very best for us. Always. We know for sure that our good and his glory are uppermost in his mind. And they're both intertwined, you know. Our good and his glory are together. They work together. Because as he does us good, that brings him glory. And as we bring him glory, that does us good too. And our joy is fuller. Romans 8, verse 28 reminds us of this, doesn't it? And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for our good as we seek his purposes and his glory. And he'll do that throughout 2007, folks. I believe the fact that we had to wait throughout 2006 for the next senior pastor, and whatever length of time we have to wait for our next senior pastor, that will be for our good and for his glory. Do you believe that? It will be. Our good and his glory. And we can look at how good he's been to us over those last years. So many people have stepped up to the plate, haven't they? People have said they want to serve more, they want to do more, they've gone further than they've done. People have gone actually overseas for the first time in this last year, haven't they? And folks have grown, been stretched in their faith this year. That's got to be for our good, and it's for his glory, isn't it? And everything that's happened, we can say, hey, God did this, and it is for his glory. We can explain it in terms of God, which is wonderful. He's deep in his wisdom. He's deep in his knowledge. He's deep in his discernment. And then we're told that his paths are beyond tracing out. He's deep in his purposes. The only way we can trace God's paths for us is with hindsight. You know, you can look back and see how God has led us. Often we wouldn't be able to have anticipated the way he has led us. Take, for example, our involvement in Wales and now the extension of the work that's going on in North Africa, the Middle East, India, Sri Lanka, France. You know, these are ways God has been leading us. But we could never have traced that in advance. But we can see it now. We wouldn't have planned what we have going on in Wales at the moment, but God did. And now the Welsh Valleys are actually very much part of the Holland Road story. Well, they're actually part of our DNA. When we write our profile, somewhere in our profile is Wales and the Welsh Valleys and our partnerships. We may never know exactly how God has led us the way that he has, but we'll often know why he has as we look back. Deep in his wisdom, deep in his knowledge, deep in his discernment, deep in his purposes. And verse 34 tells us, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? He's deep in his thought. We will never fully know the mind of the Lord, but we will know something of his mind as he reveals it to us through Scripture and through the personal work of the Lord Jesus. The Scriptures tell us that we can know something of the mind of the Lord. Psalm 25, verse 14 tells us that the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Knowing Jesus has revealed to us something of his mind, through his presence and through the presence and teaching of the Holy Spirit. But our knowledge is limited to what has been revealed to us, you know, because there's so much more of God and his thoughts. And also what has been revealed to us is enough to satisfy our need and our capacity. We couldn't get hold what God knows and what God has in mind for us. But he shows us enough to satisfy our capacity to know, as well as our need to know. And the measure of what we know, if you like, someone has said, can be likened to lighting a candle to the sun. That's the measure of our knowledge and his. So in 2007, we will never be able to fully comprehend or even imagine what he has in mind for us. But we know this, Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So it would be wise of us through 2007 to leave room for the unimaginably more that God has in mind to do in our lives and through our lives at Holland Road. It's wonderful to know that the realization of God's vision for us is not dependent on our resources, but on his and on him himself. We look ahead and we can say, Lord, the task is too much for us. We're insufficient for the task. And that's always true. But he's more than able to do what he asks us to do if we offer our willingness and our love and our obedience to him, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. When together we seek the growth of his kingdom, he will take care of the growth of his church, won't he? His kingdom. Deep in his wisdom, deep in his knowledge, deep in his discernment and his purpose and his thought. And verse 35 says, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? He's deep in credit. Unlike many of us over the Christmas period, he's deep in credit. No one has ever outgiven God. The unfathomable God is always overwhelmingly generous to those that love him. And this can be illustrated by a discourse that Peter and Jesus had in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 to 30, if you want to look at it. This is where Peter tells Jesus what he's done. And he says, verse 28 says, Peter said, we have left everything to follow you. Verse 29, I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one has ever left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. You know, those that know God best and have served him most are the ones that know how little they've given to God. One example of this is David Livingstone. There's a picture of David Livingstone. This is something he said in response to people's constant praising him for his sacrifice of serving God in Africa all of his life. And this is what he says. For my part, I have never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed, healthful activity and reward? Healthful, that is. The consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and the bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a word in such a view and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice, say the rather it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with the foregoing of common conveniences and the charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared to the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I made no sacrifice. That's what he says. And then he goes on to say, of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his father's throne on high to give himself for us, who being the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We cannot repay God. We can simply just love him back and thank him for all that he does. Deep in wisdom, deep in knowledge, deep in discernment, deep in his purposes, deep in thought, deep in credit. And verse 36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." And he's deep in his calling. We are called to deeply desire him. You know, the true motivation for creation was God's pleasure and enjoyment. Read after the creation at the end of the sixth chapter of sixth day of creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw that he had made what he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So literally, it all came from him and made through him and is for him. And as a commentator says, just as rivers receive their waters from the sea, they return them to the sea again. So all that we have comes from him. And all the acknowledgement and the praise belongs to him. All the glory is his. It goes back to him. Our calling is not primarily to serve him, but first to love him. And so, responding to the depth of his love for us, we respond from the depth of our hearts. Deep calls back to deep. And so with Paul, we can utter with him those liberating words, that liberating truth in verse 36 at the end. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Our true response is not just acknowledgement of all that God does, but adoration of him. That's the true response that God calls us to. As we bless and adore him, we begin to fulfill our true purpose in life. What is man's chief aim? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So if we look to 2007 with this in mind, our joy actually will be unspeakable. We'll be like those absurdly happy people that we heard about this morning. When our joy is to seek him and his kingdom. Thank God that winning Hove, Wales and the world for Jesus is not dependent on what we can do, but what he can do. Ours is the joy and the privilege of pursuing him and being involved in what he does. So as we reflect on 2006, we can stop and give thanks and give glory to God for the way that he's led us. Yes, at times in untraceable ways, untraceable paths. It's wonderful, isn't it? In the absence of a senior pastor, God has blessed us. The church has grown. The ministry team has grown. Our exciting partnership in Wales and in other places has grown. There's a widening world vision, and it's all from him. And it's all through him. And it's all for him. Deep in his wisdom, knowledge, discernment, purpose, thought, credit, calling. But above all, he's deep in love. He is deeply in love with us. He went to great depths to show his love for us. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus, who is God the Son, the Bible tells us in Philippians, he who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. That's why the Bible says, if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you can get some of that depth that's available to you as well. We have access to his depth. He is worth seeking, yes, for his knowledge and for his wisdom, but we're going to miss out if we don't seek him for himself. I feel I'm echoing some of the things that David was saying this morning, and these notes were ready before you spoke. So I know God's saying the same thing. He wants us to seek him, pursue him. As we enter this new year, we shouldn't be entering just simply wanting direction and blessing. We should want God himself. That's our greatest need, folks, and our deepest need. He wants to personally walk us through 2007, to take us deeper into him and his wonderful plan for our life and the life of those around us as well. And he wants us to be able to say, at every turn, this is a God thing. This is a God thing that's happening here. 24/7 prayer is a great way to start 2007, because we're making a statement. We're actually seeking him first. And our chief aim in 2007 should be to love Jesus more deeply than we ever have before. In my notes, Dave. That's wonderful, isn't it, when God speaks like that? That's what he wants for us. Shall we pray, folks? Just bow our heads. You know, if you want God's plan for your life, you must first want God himself and find your joy in him. Because it's from him, through him, and to him are all things. Psalm 37, verse 4 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is a great time to recalibrate, to reset your life and priorities. From the depth of his heart, he's calling to you to respond from the depth of your own right now. Will you do it tonight? If you want to respond from your heart to him, stand and pray with me. Father God, and you can echo this prayer, you can pray your own prayer. Father God, I want to love you back for loving me. Now, if you're not yet a believer, but want to enter into this prayer and reach into those depths, then you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for your sake. His death was punishment for your sin. His resurrection was for you assurance of eternal life. Speak to him in your own words and say to him, thank you, Lord, you came from heaven, the Lord of heaven. You became the Lamb of God for my sake. Thank you for dying for you. Receive his forgiveness. Invite his leadership into your life. And if you've done that, you're ready to do what we all can do together, and that is commit our lives afresh to him. Let's just do that. Again, folks, in your own words, speak to the Lord. Offer him your heart afresh. And then offer him your challenges, both those that are known to you, those that are unknown, and trust him to lead you through. Express your desire for him, and then for his will and his glory. And now, together, we can thank him for a great year ahead as we determine to have him lead us through it. Lord, we bless you for the depth of all you are. Lord, we haven't even touched the surface, as it were, Lord. There's so much more of you. As often has been said, Lord, there's oceans more of you for us to know and experience. And just thank you, Lord, for your desire to take us deeper into you in 2007 and deeper into your purposes, that our joy might be unspeakable. And we bless you for the good plans you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.